This is East Carolina defensive coordinator Blake Carroll, and you're listening to The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
This is East Carolina All-American Brian Packard, and we're talking Pirate baseball in The Sports Objective.
You're listening to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on The Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel as we talk East Carolina baseball. As we look back at the previous week and take a look at what's ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate baseball.
Welcome into Extra Innings. Great weekend to be a Pirate. Pirates go on the road and get the brooms out and sweep Cincinnati. 34-14 on the year now. And, of course, 12-6 in conference play. Bubba Rosenbaum, what's up, dude?
Yeah, exactly what the Pirates needed. 9-3, 11-3, and then 6-5 today. Really had to work for today's win, and you thought you probably would have to. 5-0 against Cincinnati on the year. They're, even though we've had a lot of success against the Bearcats, they're not always easy to beat there in Cincinnati. So they were doing their best to not get swept again, but we found a way to get it done in the end.
No question about it. Let's also bring in Kyle from LaGrange. Barber, what's up, dude?
What's going on, guys? Good to get swept this weekend. I didn't think we had the brooms on the equipment bus ever, so it's good to see the boys put the broom on the equipment bus this week and took them on the road and got the sweep on the road and played well, and I really like today's game, three straight blowouts is one thing, but I need to see us win a close ball game again. We hadn't done that in a while. One that was like really on the line, at least one doesn't come to mind. So it was good to see us do that today. We played with confidence, and so good performance all weekend, but especially like to see us come from behind today and then win it in extra innings.
And no question about it. In fact, guys, I was really happy with the fact, I mean, you're looking at the three wins. You're looking at – there's a lot of great things. But this team, we love to see the fact that you have now the sweep. You have on the road at Old Dominion. Guys, speaking of on the road, before I forget, how about 8-9 now on the road on the year? So if we can win Tuesday night there at Harbor Park, where the Norfolk Tides play for Old Dominion, to if we can beat them, not only the quality of win, but a road win that would get us, that would be 500, and that would be great for the Pirates.
Yeah, no, I mean, the better we're playing on the road, it's late in the season, but we have another road trip to go, plus your conference tournament, neutral site, but it ain't as had the friendly confidence, Clark LeClaire, and who knows if we're going to host or not. I think hosting is still on the table, but I truthfully, maybe I'm wrong, but I believe we need to win the conference and the tournament to host at this point. I mean, that's, not taking into account things that could happen around us. If somebody like Campbell or Duke or any of the other peripheral hosting teams collapse, then the less we have to do. I think South Carolina has pretty much established their hosting position. Coastal, I think they've pretty much established their hosting position, but there's some around us that still have, we're still there. We can still host,
No question. And guys, Duke has been red, red hot, 32-13 on the year now for the Blue Devils. And Chris Pollard heard him on This Weekend College Baseball Series XM over the weekend. What a great guy. So he's been on the show numerous times, and Duke is really hot right now. So, they made some adjustments. You got to give the coaching staff credit there in Durham. We got blanked 9-0, four shutouts on the season. So not a great thing, but the one thing that will help our RPI, right? If Duke keeps winning or not.
Yeah, I mean, at high play, sure. Any team that beats you, or certainly that you beat, if they keep winning, it'll help your RPI. But it's the same thing, you know, we're competing with them for a hosting spot. So it'd be better if they would go on a losing streak and we go on a winning streak.
Yeah, I think, well, yeah, I see what you're saying. I think if the great thing about it, we can still win the regular season, we can still win the conference tournament in Clearwater. And once we do, I think the RPI will be to a point of where we will host. I feel confident, guys, about having, you know, anything can happen. We know that we have Memphis, who knows, but when you're 26-4 at home, you feel good about those three games. You have Campbell at home, the last home game of the season. We need that one badly. And then USF on the road, they haven't played very well. Anything can happen on the road, as we know. But the last handful of games we have left, I feel good about our chances. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, some challenging games. Midweek, Old Dominion's going to be challenging. Campbell's going to be extremely challenging. You know, Memphis has the ability. They took one from Wichita. They took one from Houston. So, you know, it's not going to be a cakewalk. And then we haven't played well on the road all year. So at South Florida, you know, you'd like to be a little bit further ahead than you are now in terms of RPI, up a little bit more. Not much. I mean, I think we're like number 19 or 20 in RPI. But you'd like to have at least one more conference road win or two more conference road wins right now, and maybe another midweek game or two. But we're close enough where we can still get where we want if we handle our business.
Yeah, and 40, Bubba, 40 wins usually is not always, because I know that other factors, but we're at 34 wins, and if we can get to that 40 mark somewhere between the end of the regular season or the start of the tournament, then that's a good indicator. That should help us a lot moving forward when it comes to hosting, right?
Of course, for that to happen, we would have to be 6-2 the rest of the way, assuming we don't have any cancellations due to weather, because we're 34-14. You mentioned the games that we have left with Old Dominion, the Memphis series, then Campbell, and then the South Florida series down in Tampa. So I like our chances of at least going 6-2, and hopefully we'll be better than that. And then if you win the tournament without losing, that's four wins. So and let's say you do drop two in the regular season, then obviously you're 44-16. So you'd feel pretty good about it, especially depending on who those two losses came against. As much as you don't want to lose them, you'd be better off to have the two losses come in the non-conference games.
If we only lost two games the rest of the way, and that's including the conference tournament, I'd think we'd have a really good chance to host. I mean, you're talking about winning. That would be winning in the scenario you just laid out. That would be winning 10 of your last 12 games.
And that would be winning the regular season.
Well, and then
most likely.
Yeah, you'd be. We've won three in a row now, so yeah. I mean, you'd be winning 13 out of 15 if you won 6 out of 8 in the regular season, then swept through the tournament. But I'm still not so sure, you know, especially if you didn't win the regular season in the conference, and if you suffer two losses in the regular season to conference opponents, that's going to be hard to do. So,
yeah, I think we need to win the conference championship. I'm with you.
Yeah.
And by the way, guys, we talked about this in the green room. How is that possible? We'll throw it out to you. I know how, but I want you to, Bubba, if you want to lay that out. What do we have to do, and what does Houston have to do to win?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of different scenarios. I haven't mapped all those out, but as of right now, you know, one possible scenario, you know, if the Pirates were to sweep both of the final series against Memphis in South Florida, then you have Houston. They play at Tulane. They also have Cincinnati at home in Houston. So if the Pirates won all six, then Houston would have to drop at least one And I like the odds of that happening at Tulane. And then obviously Wichita State's in a position now where they're going to need some help from not only the Cougs, but the Pirates as well.
Yeah, I think they lost. You know, anything can happen, but I feel like that Wichita is out of the mix right now. Outside looking in, not to say they can't, but I think things are a lot harder for them for sure.
Yeah, them having that game canceled at Houston today, that really hurt the Shockers. But the Shockers' remaining schedule, they play at UCF, and then they also have a home series against the Bulls of South Florida.
Yeah, I really – and, guys, you know, if you look at it, we have the ODU game. If you win that game, then you come back, you play Memphis. And like we talked about, Kyle, I mean, Memphis is not going to roll over for us, and they have a chance to steal one, and that's all it would take. That would hurt us. But what we need to do is, with our 26-4 record that we have right now at home, a very strong home record, then – you know, let's get a lot of Pirates out there. Let's make a lot of noise the entire game. We need that Memphis series, like almost like a regional atmosphere, don't you think, guys?
Yeah, I mean, if you can better, you know, it should be good weather. I mean, the series is going to mean a lot, so we should be good crowds. And our fans understand that we're in a position now where it hasn't been like it's been the last couple of years where we walked away with the conference championship. We're in a position where we need to handle our business to win a conference championship. So the fans will understand what this coming weekend will mean. And if you can beat Old Dominion midweek, then you continue positive momentum. And that'll excite the fan base even more.
No question about it. I want to give a shout out to Shell tuning in tonight from the Queen City. What's up, Shell? And appreciate you. His son, Randy, guys, really proud of his son, Randy, and Shell and our good friends. And he told me that they're now, they got a big win for Charlotte Catholic, Randy's school, Friday night. They advanced to the third round of the North Carolina High School playoffs. So, Shell, awesome stuff there. You got a great kid. And I wish we could get Randy to play on the baseball team. Unfortunately, we don't have men's lacrosse at East Carolina, but or football. Well, we have football, but not lacrosse. He plays
football. What the hell?
He plays football, basketball, baseball, sports.
I was wondering where that came from.
No, but anyway. Good luck to Randy and everybody there with Charlotte Catholic, working really hard.
That would have been funny if Scotty Montgomery was still here and you said that. You could have just let it roll.
No, that would just misspoke. I was trying to say that about men's lacrosse, and then when I said football, he plays football and also baseball. He plays several sports, so good for him. Guys, as far as this team is concerned, let's look back at the week that was. I know we had a disappointing outcome on Wednesday night with the Tar Heels, but the Pirates start off the week losing 2-1, a heartbreaker at home.
Yeah, pitching was outstanding. It's a shame that we couldn't find a way to scratch out another couple runs and win that and sweep the Tar Heels. But not a whole lot to be ticked off about because you had some hard hit balls. It was just one of those things. Like Coach Godwin said in the post game, should we have been a little bit better offensively? Yes, but at the same time, you got to tip your hat to the Tar Heel pitching. Very tough offensive at 3 years since get back South Carolina.
So yes, Mr. Robot.
Yeah,
the game.
Yeah, go ahead, take it. I'm in a bad area here in good old Davidson County.
As he says that perfectly clear. But, yeah, the target game, it was a close game, pitching duel 2-1. You know, you felt like the Pirates were going to come back and win the ball game at home against UNC. You know, the crowd was into it. You just thought you'd do it in the night, send it the extra innings, and it just didn't happen. Pirates lose 2-1. We take 2 out of 3 from the Tar Heels. So it is what it is. The Tar Heels, I don't know what they did this weekend, but after the previous weekend, they won their conference series and then beat East Carolina. They had played their way back into, you know, a solid regional projected team. So Tar Heels trying to play their way into the NCAA tournament without having to win the conference tournament.
Well, they're 29 and
7. Yeah, you've been sorry, go ahead, and then I'll chime in.
No, I was just going to say 29-17. They definitely helped their chances. But what do you think, Bubba?
Just kind of expanding on what Kyle was saying, how badly North Carolina needed that game, you know, using two weekend starters, Max Carlson, who's really had our number. He shut us down on Friday night back in February and then shut us down once again, three hitless innings, and had done so in the 2022 season as well. So glad we probably won't see him again unless it's in the postseason, we shall see. But or at this point, we probably would like another shot at him. But
no question. And he
Garrett Saylor was tremendous. You know, historically, Garrett hadn't been very good starting. He had excelled out of the bullpen, but great. Garrett had an excellent start, and all the relievers that we used pitched very, very well.
Yeah, no doubt. And that, guys, one of the things I was happy about this week. All right, sorry, Bubba. Maybe a rough spot there. Still, it's like a lot of lag, so I apologize, but wasn't trying to step over you. But the fact of the matter is, I thought that the one of the things that was great this week is to see that the not that the relief pitching has been bad, but man, the relief pitching has been really good this week. I mean, I was just really. It's like there's so many weapons now, Kyle, in the bullpen. And Bubba, that it's just it's awesome. You're like, oh yeah, we have him. Oh yeah, we have him. Oh yeah, we have him. And having Carter Spivey and Saylor with all their experience in the bullpen, and you've got so many other guys that are just really lighting it up. I love it.
Yeah, we have a lot of bullpen depth, and you know, it shows.
Spivey, that's what I started.
Yeah. Bubba, we're having trouble with you.
Super lag. Or maybe he's talking and he's just not coming through.
Okay, I started speaking today.
Yeah, this is Bubba, I would just mute myself for a little bit and come back in probably maybe about 5 minutes.
Yeah, we're trying. It's not that we're doing sorry, we're having some technical difficulties. I guess.
Yeah, but what he was saying, we got great bullpen depth. We, you know, we pitched well against UNC. You know, you hold them to 2 runs, you think that's going to be enough, it ain't. And then we go on the road this weekend, and the bullpen was solid all weekend. Just look at the performance today.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no question about it. By the way, our good buddy JR says the Pirates are doing the things that lead to wins. They have only committed 2 errors in the last 10 games, and they are 24 of 26 in stolen base attempts in their last 17 games. That's one of the things that have been really cool for me is the stolen bases. Bubba, do you know off the top of your head, and we got you back now, as far as a record for stolen bases, it just seems like we're really getting to it this year. Not that we don't care about stolen bases or that we've never stole bases, but it just feels like that we've just been on fire.
Yeah, our team speed and you know, ability to steal bases is a little bit better than it's been in the recent past. Obviously, Luke Nowak is a big reason for that, I think. And Johnny Robertson, help me out here, but I know this was probably at least a couple weeks ago. He had 14 or 15, so he may be closing in on 20 now. I don't think he's quite there, maybe 17 or 18. But and then, obviously, you have Lane Hoover, Starling, I think, has maybe 7 or 8. So yeah, this is probably the most steals we've had in quite some time, but we'll go back and check the record books.
No question.
But what I started to say a moment ago about Carter Spivey when I was having the technical issues is that Spivey, like Coach Godwin said, he actually wanted this move back to the bullpen so he could, you know, really get in –
to more of an aggressive mindset, coming in a couple situations like he did this week, one against the Tar Heels, one against the Bearcats, where the bases were loaded in 5 2/3 innings. He was perfect, literally. No runs, no hits, and only Wyatt Schenkman being one out better in 6 innings. Obviously, 5 of those coming today. Needed just 40 pitches, guys, to navigate through 5 innings. So 8 pitches per inning for Wyatt Lunsford. Schenkman just ridiculously good. And because of that, Wyatt Lunsford Schenkman edged out Carter Spivey for our PGXGloves.com Pitcher of the Week.
Yeah, and well-deserved today's performance. It's such a tight ball game. You know, to me, that was the difference. We needed his performance today to win that ball game. Without it, we wouldn't have. And to me, that's why he deserved the honor.
No question about it, Wyatt. He's a guy that, you know, you think about who are the guys that you need, you know, to make a deep run in June. And he's the kind of guy that can come in and, man, ice in his veins and just you feel, there's some guys in the past, you know, like no matter what team you pull for, you're kind of nervous. You're like, I don't know if he could do it. That guy is like, when he comes in, you're like, lights out. Yes, sir. Let's go, you know. He's been really great. What a great guy. And really improved, don't you think? Guys, he's really improved as the season's going on. And he just feels like, with his command, and really good to see that. And I tell you what, the one thing that's going to help us, if anything, as we've talked all season long, is about the pitching. Bubba, you're a Braves fan. How many titles did the Braves win? And it was a lot of the pitching was spot on. The Bobby Cox era.
Yeah, and Wyatt Lunsford Schenkman, he pitched well at times late last season and started to take on a bigger role. But this year, we had heard going into the season how much he had improved, how well he pitched in the fall and this spring leading into the season, and we've certainly seen it. I think his ERA is like 2.3, 2.4, something like that. And that may have been before today's game was factored in. So Wyatt Lunsford Schenkman, with the exception of a couple games, has really been lights out for the Pirates. And as you said, one of those key cogs, long relief out of the bullpen for the most part.
No question about it. And I tell you, by the way, Kyle, you were asking about the Tar Heels, about their schedule. We made up our game on Wednesday night. That was reading day for them, and it was taking some exams for us that day. So they had no opponent this weekend. But, guys, they have coming up, they're going to have, I know next weekend they'll have NC State and one of Kyle's favorite teams, Coastal Carolina. Mm-hmm. Now they're finishing on the road. They're going to have that game.
One of my favorite teams. I don't know why they're one of my favorite teams. But,
well, not finished out the season, but they have – I'm joking. Clemson is going to be the last series of the year, May 18th through the 20th. So, there you have it. They've got a tough road to hoe. Just yet for the Tar Heels.
Yeah, but some good opportunities there.
Oh, no question. I tell you what, Bubba, we're really, really proud of the guys down in Clemson, right? Man, Pirates, they're just they're really turning that program around.
Yeah, Eric Backish and Nick Schnabel are obviously doing an excellent job early on in their tenure there. And I saw something, I think it was, I can't remember if it was on D1 Baseball or which site, but on some social media, college baseball outlet, they were talking about how Eric Backich within the last few weeks said that he really felt like they were going to go on a run, and they certainly have. They've seen their RPI. I'm trying to remember where it was, if it was in the 50s or 60s, but it's up there in the top 15 or so now. And I don't know what they did today, but they had taken the first two from Louisville, and Louisville was just inside of the top 25, and I believe that was the series being played down in Clemson. So depending on how they finish the regular season and play in the ACC tournament, they really they're not out of the possibility of hosting.
Wow.
Would they put 3 host sites in South Carolina? I mean, my God, the state is, a state that size with 3 hosting sites?
I think they would if they were deserving, but I think that we'll see how Coastal Carolina closes the year. App State beat them 11-0 on Friday night.
Oh,
then
wow.
they won a thriller on Saturday, scoring.
Who's they?
I wasn't finished, but Coastal Carolina won 6-5 in the bottom of the ninth yesterday, and then they won, I think, pretty convincingly today. But depending on, I want to say they're 30-17 now, something like that. I'm not sure what that loss on Friday night, where that knocked them down to. Just a moment, I'll check the RPI. But depending on how Coastal finishes the regular season, they are 12th now, 30-16, 17-7 in the Sun Belt. So and Clemson's 13th in the RPI, so they could. One of them may potentially play their way out. We shall see.
Yeah, they even beat Louisville today. They swept Louisville. I can't believe that. 7-3. And, you know, Runes, by the way, Mike Rooney, I was talking on the show on over the weekend about the very fact this show for This Week in Baseball on SiriusXM about how you could have NC State potentially and Louisville not making the NCAA tournament for the 64 teams.
Did you say did you talk to Mike Rooney on This Week in Baseball?
No. I did not say that. I heard him say.
That's where it goes. When you said, I was about to say, you're telling me you went on SiriusXM to talk college baseball and you didn't promote it on here?
Yeah, of course I would. but anyway, the Clemson Tigers, they're heading the right direction. And he was talking about Louisville may not make the cut and maybe even NC State. He said, how crazy is that, that the two, you know, teams in the ACC that you always expect to make it, and maybe NC State still makes it, but Louisville's got a tough road to hoe. And by the way, guys, Clemson's got a huge game. And guess who they're playing, Kyle, on Wednesday night?
Coastal?
Yep. And then they have this weekend's a big one. They've got in Blacksburg coming up at Virginia Tech. That's going to be a big one. And, they'll have Upstate, USC Upstate on the following week, and then the Carolina series will at Clemson will do it. So really proud of those guys, Pirates.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who hosts in the Carolinas. There's a lot of potential hosting sites in the Carolinas. Could you see Eric Backich and the guys hosting Clemson as a one seed, and the Pirates are down there as a two seed? Mm-hmm. That would be interesting.
Wow. Yes, it would. That would be crazy, and the tickets would be tough to get for sure.
Yeah. Well, any regional Clemson.
Oh yeah,
tough to get, but
no doubt. But Bubba, do you want to go to some of the questions and comments? We've got a few. Appreciate Johnny, Josh, Shell. A lot of people chiming in tonight. Very active. It's always that way when you win. Everything is better, and certainly we were licking our wounds this past week or so. And feels good to have a 3-1 week. That's what Kyle and I want, right? Or 4-0 would be even better. But 3-1 is very respectable.
Yeah, that's what me and you want. Bubba wants us to go 0-4, but yeah.
No, actually 1-3. If we could just get one win.
Yeah, Johnny Robertson. He says the eighth inning is a dead zone for opponents' bats. Only once in the last 18 games has the opposition scored in the eighth inning. Josh Thomas chimes in and says, what's up, fellas? How about those Pirates? Great to get the win and season sweep today of Cincinnati. As we mentioned earlier, going 6-0 against the Bearcats. And really only a couple of those six games were that competitive. Tuesday's going to be a challenge. ODU's a scrappy team, but a road midweek win would be huge for this team. No doubt. And as you mentioned, I think where they've beaten us at least the last two times up in Norfolk, and this game is not going to be on campus. It's going to be at the home of the Norfolk Tides. And I'm trying to remember what it's, there's a name for it. I don't remember if it's the Tidewater Classic or what's it, what's the day?
Yeah. That sounds right. Yeah.
Something like that. Appreciate you.
Commonwealth.
Chiming in as always, Josh, and also clarifying that as far as Clemson sweeping Louisville. And then Shell says, hey guys, still too early to say, but at this point, who is the MVP up to this point in the season? In my opinion, there are a few that could be deserving.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on the good thing about our team is they're so talented. It depends on what day it is. It's not like a one horse pony, you know, like a whole one horse, you know, the whatever. I'm trying to say, but anyway, I'm trying really hard to say that we have a great player.
Yeah, a one horse pony. That's awesome. Donald Hoover. Hoover's going to come to mind. I mean, I don't know. You know, JJC was such a clear cut last year, late in the season. I don't know. It's hard to say this year. Bubba may be the best person to answer that.
What do you think, Bubba?
Bubba, he says the whole damn team. It's a team effort.
He's speechless. He's thinking right now about who would be the MVP at this point. By the way, Kyle.
It would be interesting to go back and look to see who's won the most player of the week and pitcher of the week for us, and that would probably kind of tell us.
He says Shell.
Yeah, he says Hoover. Yeah, Hoover. Yeah. I wonder, though, who's won the most player and pitcher of the week here so far for us on our show.
That's a good point.
I mean, there's certainly a lot of options there. You know, there for a while. I mean, you had the way your Savage was pitching on Friday night. Yeah. You certainly can't go wrong with Hoove. Obviously, JJC, and you have Wilcoxon. Wilcoxon's after today, I think. And speaking of
Starling,
Justin Wilcoxon, Jacob Starling's had a heck of a year. But Justin Wilcoxon, I want to say after today, is hitting 345 or something like that. And he had an unbelievable week, 7 out of 14, had the grand slam that really put the game away in game two, putting us up 11-1 there in the top of the ninth on Saturday. And he also had a double and 7 RBI in the week. So, he had a hit in every game. So Justin Wilcoxon is really swinging the bat well. You know, he started the season so hot, then he really cooled off, went through a bit of a slump, but he has been swinging it of late the way he did the first week or two of the season.
Is this maybe the all-name team of all time? Justin Wilcoxon, Jacob Jenkins Coward, Cam Clonch,
Wyatt Lunsford
Shankman. Yes. I mean, we have Willie, our names.
How about Willie Lumpkin?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like our names are just fantastic. Even Carter Spivey sounds like a character in a movie.
In addition to the year that Wilcoxon's had, you know, through 48 games at the plate, hitting 345 and pretty good power. I'm trying to remember how many home runs. Help me out, Johnny Robertson. He's probably got 7 or 8 at least. But he's also done a tremendous job of controlling the running game. And he's thrown out a lot of guys.
Hey, how about that play late in the game? Was that the 6th or 7th inning? The ball gets away a little bit, and he literally rifled that thing down to third base, and they got the guy out. That was it 6th inning, something like that. That was later.
I don't know the play. I remember the damn game was the play for the Cincinnati player where he just jumped for the ball, or it broke the web of his glove and got stuck in the web, and he turned the double play, and had he not got the glove on that ball, I mean, you know, we'd have probably scored on that play. And that was, to me, the play that stuck out to me. I mean, that was the way it was just wedged in his glove. Bub, did you see that play?
I didn't. I take that back. I did see that. I watched a decent percentage of today's game once the power came back on at the stadium. But I was at a family reunion, a family luncheon after church. So I did not see the game in its entirety as I typically would. But, did see that where Hoove smoked the ball when we were trailing by one down the first baseline, and it was an easy double play after the ball, you know, got stuck in the first baseman's glove. And they said it was 109 miles per hour off the bat, the exit velocity.
Wow.
But, and Josh Thomas said I said Tidewater Classic. It's the Commonwealth Classic. He said, unfortunately, it will not be televised on ESPN Plus. And we're going to have to go old school with 94.3 The Game and download the IBX media app and listen to Scooter, or just go to 94.3thegame.com and tune in.
I thought, it's also on TuneIn, on the TuneIn app.
Yeah, on the TuneIn app as well. That's how my dad always tunes in.
Problem with the TuneIn app, I'll say this quickly. Thank God that Interbanks Media, for many reasons, has the new app, but TuneIn always has that problem where that hiccup where they have, where it's doing a play, you hear the play, and all of a sudden it starts repeating itself again.
I never had that issue.
Oh my God, it's happened a lot for me.
I haven't had that issue. If I did, then yeah, that would bother me. But TuneIn normally works fine for me. The reason I like TuneIn is because I don't want 70,000 apps on my phone. I don't need the Pirate Radio app plus the Interbanks Media app plus your mama's app. I mean, so TuneIn is kind of all inclusive. Nice. It takes care of them all.
And Josh saying the IBX Media app works great, no doubt. Been using it in the last couple weeks since they debuted some of their new programming and they unveiled that app. And obviously, Hoist the Colors, Steve and Igo's daily show from Monday through Friday, debuting and doing well thus far.
I'll download the IBX Media app just as soon as they decide to start carrying the Sports Ejector podcast on it.
But Johnny Robertson says, 7 home runs, 33 runs batted in for J-Dub. So about what we thought there in terms of his power. And then let's see. Also, we talked about the relief performances of Wyatt Lunsford-Sheekman and also Carter Spivey. You talked about Jaden Strong. Star had two doubles today.
Yeah, Starling good at the plate today, as he has been really all year. And when the bats are hot, it's one of those things. I guess hitting's contagious. It seems when one person's having a good weekend, another person. Our bats seem to be very much like that. We either hit well all together, or we suck all together. We never really seem to rely on one or two players to win the ball game for us. Everybody's hitting or nobody's hitting, it seems.
Yeah, guys, how about the fact that one of the things I would ask y'all about, and maybe it's the pitching, but how many ground balls that we're hitting into, the hitting play, to get a lot of outs. In fact, it was so many players in a row that got out today. Thank God that we did what we had to do to get the job done today. But that's one of the things I've noticed during the not so good times this season is that we're hitting a lot of ground balls, like right at the pitcher, right at the guys in the infield. I mean, I know that's not something, it's easier said than done. Hitting is very hard, but I was just wondering if there was anything we can do to break out of that.
Well, today you tip your hat to Mitch White. In relief coming into today, I think he had an ERA around six, just over six. So today he went 4 1/3 hitless innings, retired 13 straight Pirates. So it was one of those things, kind of head scratching, but to our credit, we stayed with it there in the late innings. Once they took White out of the game, we were able to do what we needed to do to scratch out a run to tie the game with, I believe that was without the benefit of a hit. I believe we had a free pass, then either a pass ball or wild pitch moved him to second. Then he moved to third on a fly ball to the left center gap, and then a ground ball to second scored him. But then JJC, his average hasn't been the best since returning out at Wichita State following his injury, but he really came through big today there in the top of the 10th after Riley Johnson, who had come in to run for Josh Moreland. He doubled down the right field line there. I want to say it was with one out in the top of the 10th, and then JC followed with the single to left center to plate him.
Yeah, Riley's a great guy, a guy that had the injury last year. So it's really great to see him playing a bigger role. The reason he could play a bigger role is because I can't remember his injury last year, but I know that was nagging. But then this year we've had a ton of injuries, even more so than it seems like than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had both catchers.
Will Coxon and McChrystal, they've been banged up with back injuries. And then obviously JJC, your Savage, fortunately, didn't appear to be anything major. Obviously, he was back for an inning today.
There's another for the all-name team.
Exactly.
But, yeah, Trey Savage, it's great to see him back out there today. Unfortunately, not the best inning he did. He threw 33 pitches and allowed a run and I think three hits. But can't say a whole lot about that because that was before the power, right as the power was coming back on and the ESPN Plus feed was not up yet. So just saw the numbers and that was about it for Trey.
So were they keeping score in the stadium old school style at that point until the power came back up, or was there no power at all or limited power or what?
Yeah, Scooter Rogers and Scott said that there was it was a very odd atmosphere, like you're watching a practice because you had no music, no scoreboard, and just the sound of the few hundred people in attendance.
Like an old school baseball game, like you're back in the 40s or something.
Sandlot, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he even so.
No question. So, looking ahead, guys, with the week that we've got coming up, obviously, big week. I think that the Memphis series is sold out, a pretty daggone close. But for all our fans, I was in Tidewater this weekend. And my son had a basketball tournament out there. I was thinking about, man, I wish I could go to that game at Harbor Park on Tuesday night, the Commonwealth Classic, as we've learned for it to be ODU. But, man, if we could get a lot of Pirates there, we had a couple thousand, I think, the Charlotte game. And it'd be great to have a lot of Pirates there in the 757, right, Bubba, Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously. Go ahead, Bubba.
Just plenty of Pirates in that area, so you know I'm sure they'll turn out well as we always do, and that's something Johnny Gardner and I were discussing this weekend. You know, whether it's at a game that's more regional, like an Old Dominion or an NC State, etc., or on the road at a Cincinnati or a Houston, you always have enough Pirate fans there that you're hearing purple gold cheers on the radio and the ESPN Plus broadcast, and that's always pretty cool.
No question. You could hear it today, the damn Cincinnati game. You could hear Pirate chants, but it should be. I would think there should be a good crowd there in Norfolk, a good ECU contingent, I would hope.
No doubt. In the Memphis series, we got to have a lot of people there at home, and we need to have a regional type atmosphere for Memphis, you know, just because it's not NC State, North Carolina, Campbell, whoever, Duke, an in-state rival, we need to treat it like it is. And I think, like you said earlier in the show, Kyle, people that watch the show, listen to the show, people that follow the program very close know we need that series really bad.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a definite big series, something we need to be nice to sweep it. You got to at least take two, but if we could get the sweep at home, you know, it would go a long way into winning a regular season conference championship.
Right. Before this week, we were a two seed. It'll be interesting to see, not that it really matters but it'll be interesting to see if any projections now have us as a one seed. Maybe not.
I wouldn't think so, Dave, not after this weekend. I think if we could go 4-0 this week, then I think we'll see some one seed projections.
Yeah, I think I agree with Kyle. I think if we go 4-0 this week with a quality road win against Old Dominion, that'll make us 500 on the road, and then and then you pick up another conference sweep over Memphis, and you're 38-14. Depending on what happens around us, I think we'd potentially be a number one the following week. But honestly, I mean, just we just got to keep handling our business, and if we do that, then we can accomplish our goals of another conference title, hosting, et cetera. But something else that I was looking at, and B-Pay said, really need to win out at home. You want to at least get one out of the three games you play against Campbell after having lost those first two. And that's something I was going to shift gears back to, is when we play Campbell, it will be interesting to see who they pitch, because you know they're in a situation, depending on how they finish their season, there's maybe an outside chance they could host their RPI with a couple of losses in the Big South, really took a hit, but now they're winning again. And and I say they're winning again, that sounds that's ridiculous. But with those losses to Presbyterian and Longwood, you know, that had knocked them down to the mid 30s, but now they're back up to 20th in the RPI, 19-2 in the Big South, 36-10 overall. So they'll be playing for a hosting spot as well, if they can really close the regular season strong and win the Big South tournament, because obviously that's a must, in my opinion, for them to host, just the way it works, whether it should have to happen or not. But the Camels have thrown Hunter Lloyd against us the first two times, and he had really fared well against the Pirates. So it'll be interesting to see if Hunter Lloyd starts a third time against ECU. And he is the East Tennessee State transfer.
Well, you've seen him twice, so if we see him again, then maybe we'll be ready to hit him. But weren't ready to hit in the first hit. Well, yeah, I don't recall us hitting well in those games. So
we definitely didn't. And Campbell would be a P-Bay says Campbell would be a quad one win, would even us up at 5-5. They've dipped below that, haven't they, Bubba? Campbell?
No, like I was just saying, their RPI had gotten down into the mid to upper 30s, but now it's now back down to 20. So yeah, unless this week they really stink it up, they'll be there in the top 50 for sure when we meet next week.
All right, we definitely hope that's.
Where's ODU at, guys? Are they in the top 50 or not? I know they always
give me a moment, and I think they're just outside of the top 50, but we'll confirm that.
Yeah, they're always good in conference. You know, they were in Conference USA. Now they're in the Sun Belt. So
yeah, Sun Belt's a good baseball.
Yeah, they are. So. They are 69th.
60. Okay, they must have struggled in recent weeks. But
they're 30-17 overall.
Quad two win, so you know it's still a good win, and it'll help your RPI. And it doesn't kill your RPI if you lose it either. It's not like they're 169,
right? And Johnny Robertson was talking about last year. He said the Pirates was 17-5 against quad two teams. Though in fact, he had said for last season after winning the AAC title, the Pirates only had a 2-7 record versus quad one teams, UNC and Maryland.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So last year we were 19-12 against the top 100. And this season, give me a moment, I'll tell you what we are. Honestly, as Pace said, we're 5 against the top.
Can y'all hear?
Yeah, well, I hear you, Dave. I don't hear Bub.
Yeah, I don't hear Bub anymore. Sorry.
Yeah.
In fact, B-Pays makes a good point, guys. He said, I think the difference is we had less conference losses last year. That's, of course, absolutely. We dominated the conference, and there are people that have told me that they may go to the tournament this year because they don't know who's going to win the tournament. And that's even Pirate folks when normally they are there. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But Man, one of the things I was going to tell you earlier, guys, is the reason I love baseball, in this particular case, college baseball, driving home from Newport News and Hampton today, it was great to have that baseball game, and it was just on the edge of your seat. Every single pitch, it was so dramatic, and back and forth. I love that game. And Kyle, when you were talking about earlier, winning a close game, it does build your confidence, and hopefully that'll help us with the game on Tuesday night in Norfolk.
Yeah, no, I think you know, certainly winning handily also it can be said something for your confidence. But it didn't seem like, and maybe I'm wrong, it didn't seem like we had won a close game in a while. The games we won handedly, or either we, you know, lost. So it was good to see us, particularly on the road, win a close one like that.
Yeah, 4-5 now, and if we can win, of course, Tuesday night, the Commonwealth Classic, we're 5-5. We're even again, so that'll be great. Bubba, you have up there 11-8 versus Quad 2. Was that for last year or this year? And then 15-13 versus the top 100. So I'm not sure. I'm not the stats guy.
That would be this year.
This year? Okay. Yeah, we gotta step it up, and we know what we have to do. So when you know what you have to do, the good news is that we're still in control for the most part of our destiny, except, well, I know we can still win everything that we want. So that would be great. And of course, the national seed is out of the question, but you know what? Stranger things have happened where maybe the team that's we're supposed to go to after we win the regional will fall, you know, and we can actually host it. So who knows what's going to happen. I'm just really proud of these Pirates. And by the way, guys, I want to mention while we have a chance, make sure that you give to Pirates Unite right now. We have over half the money raised out of $7 million for the baseball expansion. So for the baseball Pirates, we need to, if you can give $10, $100, let's go ahead. And the goal is for the indoor practice facility, guys, to have the Isley team performance building. But that particular indoor practice facility, they want to have the money raised by the end of 2023. They're getting there. They're over half of the way. So they put it probably Kyle, it was $18 million project. So maybe the $10 million range.
So $9-10 million. Yeah.
So we need people to give. In fact, we've raised over, Kyle, out of the $60 million for Pirates Unite, we've raised over $15 million. So we've raised over 25% of what we need. So I want to make sure people give the Pirate Club a call, 252, and that'll be 737-4540. Or you can just simply email them, or not email them, go online, ecupirateclub.com. And here's another thing. Pace says, we run the table. I think we would have more regular season wins than last year, correct? That may be the case. I'd have to look at that. Just less conference wins. I'm not sure. That's a Bubba question there. Maybe Kyle question.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. If Paige's saying, I don't think he's asking. I think he's stating a fact. I don't know. But I think the biggest difference between this year and last year is we were handily winning the conference last year. There was no question. And there wasn't as many regional host site candidates in the Carolinas last year. So that's going to be the bigger problem this year.
Yeah, that's going to be another factor we have to face moving into this year. We'll see how the last couple weeks of regular season. In fact, Pace said we ended up with 46 wins total last year. And we have, 34 right now, off the 34 and 14?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head. So, yeah, we're sitting pretty, Pace. All we have to do, and for everybody in Pirate Nation, let's rally behind this team. Even more than you ever have for the next couple weeks, and we'll make it happen, and we'll see how it plays out. Bubba, do you have some more? I know we've got a lot of great content coming up, too.
Yeah, obviously, that's what Coach Connors has had several very good interviews in recent weeks, most recently Curtis Fry, ECU alum, who's the 27th year head track and field coach down at South Carolina. So go back and check that out if you missed it. Also, you know, He had some non-East Carolina interviews, like former Pittsburgh Steelers GM Kevin Colbert. And so definitely go to our YouTube channel and be sure to subscribe. Also, it has not dropped yet, but we'll have a short up later tonight. And shout out to Chew Justice, a longtime ECU cross-country coach, and anyone in Greenville, you know, that follows you know, what's going on in local high schools and attends a lot of Pirate events, probably knows Chew, or at least would recognize him. But he and his wife went on a cross-country trip, and they had the chance to see the Pirates play in Wichita, and then also were at Cincinnati. So he was nice enough to give us some footage of Jacob Jenkins Coward. Go ahead, single there in the top of the tent. So we'll have that for you here in the next few minutes on YouTube.
All right, sounds good. In fact, appreciate all the support. Kyle, we had all talked about in July of 2018 about our YouTube channel, and we're getting really close to 1,000 subscribers. So we'd really like for you to pass the word. Those of you that are subscribed, tell your family members and friends about us.
Yeah, go subscribe on YouTube, like us on Facebook. If you listen to us on a podcast player, make sure you subscribe, not just stream. And like Dave said, tell your friends, family, whether you know, listen to a podcast. You know, a lot of people still, what's the podcast? Well, everybody knows what the hell YouTube is or Facebook is. So you can always catch us live streaming or archived on YouTube and Facebook. And if you use one of those platforms to view the show, then please like or subscribe.
It's going to be a lot of fun as we sometime this year, in the next few months, we'll get to that 1,000 mark. So looking forward to that achievement. It's something we've been wanting for a long, long, long time, right at 5 years. Hard to believe, guys, that the three of us have been together. Kyle and I have been together longer than that. But for this, for just the three of us, and of course, Matt came along a couple years ago. But
yeah, we're still there, Dave.
All right. There we go. Appreciate it, Bubba. Sorry, Kyle. I thought it was going to the close there for a second. The YouTube channel, we told you about that. Like and subscribe, Facebook. And, of course, we're on Instagram, Twitter, and, of course, TikTok. I mean, how could you not be on TikTok? So check us out there. Guys, do you have anything before we wrap things up? I appreciate you, both of you guys, very, very much. And looking forward to another big week for the Pirates.
Yeah. Hopefully we handle business against the Monarchs and the Tigers the next week, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Sounds good. In fact, I don't know if we're having some technical difficulties there. Bubba, if you're there or not, let's see. By the way, Josh Thomas, guys, he says that 38 of the those that were in the regular season, we're at 34 right now with 8 to play. So thank you. That's right, Josh. So you know what? Things baseball has a funny way of things working out. And, you know, you hear the cliche, but it's true. It's a marathon and not a sprint. So we'll have to definitely take care of business over the last weekend. By the way, Kyle, I want to remind everybody about pgxgloves.com.
Yeah, go there, pgxgloves.com, and order yourself some gloves, golf gloves, batting gloves, football receiver gloves, whatever kind of sporting gloves you may need. Go to pgxgloves.com, get you some gloves, get you some swag, put in promo code ECU checkout, and put in promo code ECU at checkout, save yourself 25%.
In fact, I bought 4 pairs of gloves this year, and not only the quality great, price point is great, but also they're great customer service. You get the stuff very fast, short, not like in a couple of days like Amazon, but reasonable time. And we appreciate Kaz and his support of the program. In fact, I know that we're going to have him on very soon. A lot of great programming coming up, as we mentioned. By the way, Michelle says, good show, guys. Speak to you soon. Go Catholic on Tuesday night against Huff. And good luck to them, Randy, and the guys that are not like the number one team in the country. Kyle, how about that? All right, let's remind you about our 23 home schedule. You can get your season tickets for football at 1-800-DIAL-ECU, ecpirates.com. And Kyle, all of us will be there, and we want to get More than the goal of 16,000, right? We want to get 18,000 or more. 20 would be great.
Yeah, you sell as many season tickets as you can. Home schedule right there in front of you. It is what it is. But come on out and support the Pirates, Pirate football. 2023, I'll be here before you know it. And God knows I'm looking forward to it.
No doubt. And looking forward to a big game. That first game is going to be on September 9th against Marshall. And always a great that I think the schedule is better than it. I think it's very underrated compared to, even though we don't have a ACC school up there or something like that, it's not as bad as what some would make it out to be. Do you guys have anything before we go?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll get out of here. Appreciate Bubba and Kyle. Thank you for all. We had a lot of people chiming in tonight. Thank you so much. You've been watching Extra Innings right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates.
Hey, Pirate Nation. This is former East Carolina pitcher Davey Penny of the Keith LeClair era, class of 2003. Keep it tuned to the Sports Objective as you follow our Diamond Bucks on the road to Omaha, because y'all know we're going.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night. We will once again talk East Carolina Pirate baseball. Be sure to follow the show on social media at the Sports OBJ on Twitter, at the Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to the show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. As always, we appreciate you tuning into the show. Go Pirates!